This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We'll circle back to the NFL draft in just a little bit. We'll get to the Rockets here. For those getting in their cars, we're going to get to know the draft class at 7 o'clock. So we'll dig hardcore into the Texans draft class at 7. If you missed the open, Seth and I kind of both gave our thoughts on this draft class. I'm good with it. You know, like I am good with this class. They for where they were in the draft and for the draft capital that they had, they came away with some weapons for C.J. Stroud. The offensive line is still an area of concern for sure. But I'm overall generally cool with this draft class.
Right? I'll be just real quick. I'm still left wanting because I wanted one of those guards in the first round, as did the Texans.
Yep.
And it was Nick didn't want to spend whatever it would have taken to trade up, but they missed out on getting a guard by just one single damn spot.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Knowing what they have now with this class, would you have traded up that one spot, like giving up an extra third or
You're
fourth?
You're asking to move me would I rather have lost the playoff game to the Chargers?
Yes. I thought about that.
Yeah.
If
you would have lost the playoff game to the Chargers.
You'd have been picking 22 if you had lost the playoff game to the Chargers. You could have had Matthew Golden.
You could add Matthew Golden or
Donovan Jackson.
Yeah, I'll take that. I could say any year you don't win the Super Bowl, I would say, yeah, just go back in time and lose the wild card game.
Yeah, it's true. In the moment, you're like, yeah, this is definitely worth that. The feeling after the Charger game, oh, this is worth four spots in the draft. Hell yeah.
Until if they hadn't won that Chargers game in the playoffs, we would have been so miserable the last 3 months.
Yes.
It would have been a rough feel.
Yeah, we ignore what the emotions would have been. Losing that game. So we'll circle back to the Texans at the top of the hour. We'll take a little detour here over to some basketball. The Rockets lose on Saturday, 104-93 to the Golden State Warriors in a game set that they actually took a double-digit lead in the second quarter, and they did in this game what they did in game two several times, which is in that game they got their lead up to 20 or 22, and they would let Golden State, sans Jimmy Butler, hang around in that game by going on 7-0 runs, 8-0 runs. This time, though, they do it on the road. They do it in a game where Steph Curry, at least during the second and third quarters, went unconscious. He got off to a really bad start, and then he was the reason they got back in it. To me, the most frustrating part about, and there's a lot of frustrating parts about that loss, is that the Rockets got out-toughed in that game, I thought. They were just way too timid with the basketball throughout that game.
So if the Warriors are gonna put all this pressure on your backcourt, and if they're gonna blitz Fred VanVleet and Jalen Green, can you please do better than 19 for 48 in the paint?
Right.
That's just missing wide open, including Jalen Green, missing just wide open, easy shots. And That's the part where, again, are we going to make excuses for them? Because, hey, they're young guys playing in their first playoff game on the road this time.
No.
But they don't have their second best player out there. And you're squandering an opportunity every single time. You just flat out don't show up. When you're missing that many easy shots and the Warriors don't have Jimmy Butler, it's very, very frustrating. And also And they look like they also just look completely shocked that the Warriors are playing good defense versus them.
Yeah.
They have the most, as you pointed out by the eyeball test last week, but this is statistically, they have the highest percentage of shots taken in the last 4 seconds of the play clock of any other playoff team.
Yeah.
They're deer in the headlight.
Yeah, they're disorganized, man. Fred VanVleet's supposed to be a point guard, and half the time he's, while on the floor, deferring to guys like Amen Thompson and Jalen Green to initiate the offense, and these guys are waiting till there's 6 seconds on the shot clock to do anything, and you wind up with bad shots. Seth, that we brought that up after game two, we brought that up, trying not to be like, you know, super, like trying not to be negative or anything like that after a 15-point win. But it was concerning that the shots they were getting in that game didn't feel like shots that were sustainable. You know, they weren't
great. Right, they went on that. They traded threes in the second quarter.
Dylan Brooks turnaround jump shots with a hand in his face because there's 2 seconds left on the shot clock. Stuff like that. You know?
Yeah, it's all the stuff that you worried would get you in the playoffs. It's like, okay, they've got no half-court offense. And Van Vliet, I appreciate the fact that the Warriors are putting a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah.
But he's shooting 28%.
Yeah, yeah. you got to shoot the ball. 28%
in the playoffs, he's 28%.
Well, and Şengün looks timid, man. At least in that game on Saturday, he did. He's short-arming everything. He's missing layups. He's missing free throws, too. He's 1 of 5 from the free throw line, and he's short-arming the free – they're glancing the front rim. You know, like he looked rattled in that game on Saturday. Which he hasn't looked. I mean, he's generally speaking, that hasn't been his deal. He looked rattled for whatever reason on Saturday. I think the biggest thing too on the other side, Steph Curry got his. He was great. But Steph Curry he's great. So that happens. Buddy Hield getting 5 threes in that game. Buddy Hield's a good shooter, but Buddy Hield getting 17 points and Gary Payton the second. Scoring 9 straight points at a real crucial juncture of the game.
Yeah.
Shooting 7 of 9. That's what ended. It wasn't Steph Curry Steph Curry hurt you in that game, obviously, but he's Steph Curry. It's allowing their two guys off the bench to combine for 33 points and just getting a bunch of wide open shots. The doubling and blitzing of Steph Curry that worked so well in that regular season game and worked in game two did not work at all. On Saturday, there were just way too many open shots for the Warriors in that game.
So at some point here, you're going to have to win a game on the road.
Yes,
but at the very least, we go to the 1-for-1 portion now, right?
It's 1-1. They go back and forth. They traverse the country after this. They have to win tonight. They can't go down 3-1 against this team. So they got to win tonight.
Make it very uncomfortable for the Warriors.
Yes,
Rockets. Well, the Rockets' playoff record versus the Warriors. Since Steph Curry, do they have one win on the road versus the Warriors?
Is that
the abysmal record? It's really, really bad.
They probably won one on
the playoffs.
Road. Yeah, in the playoffs. I'm guessing they won one on the road in that Chris Paul series in 2018.
I think they went seven.
Yeah, they went seven. I think they won one on the road in that series. I would also recommend Jalen Green not talking trash after a game that they just lost that he scored 9 points in. He was asked about Draymond Green. He and Draymond got into it after the final buzzer. On Saturday, they got into a shouting match. The teams kind of all collected at midcourt, and then they went their separate ways. Jalen Green was asked about it, and he had this shade to throw at Draymond Green.
Yeah, it was just talking. You know, he can't really do much of anything else, so talking his only way.
All right, now he's right. Draymond does kind of suck at basketball now. Like, he's not good, especially on the offensive end. He's not very good anymore. He's decent on the defensive end. I'll grant him that. Young man, I would lay off the trash talk after you just scored 9 points in a row.
You can't do
loss.
Much of anything, and it looks like that might have been effective enough against you.
Clearly in your head.
Right. Yeah, it's all he can do is talk and make me play like crap.
Yeah.
Let's not get in a war of talking when it comes to Jalen Green, okay? Yes, Draymond's a much better talker than you, Jalen.
I would lay off the trash talk, Jalen, if you just dropped 50 on him because you need some baritone in your voice, man. You need a little more energy.
Yeah.
No, the mumble trash talk doesn't work real well. Oh, man.
They're 1-for-12 all-time on the road against Golden State, and the one win came in 2018.
That's what I figured. Yeah, that's what I figured. So the biggest story from draft week, and we'll circle back to the Rockets and headlines in just a little bit, Shedeur Sanders finally goes off the board at 144th overall to Cleveland. And boy, this triggered a lot of reactions and still does to this very day, to this very
minute. It's a crossover hit. There's nothing we love better than when my mom calls me to ask about NFL happenings. And the
crossover
victim, Shedeur Sanders.
Crossover hit. What did you think, man, when you heard that Shedeur? What was the Seth Payne initial reaction to Shedeur going off the board at 144 to the Cleveland Browns ball team?
Okay, my honest first reaction was I had a feeling the woman who came out to announce the pick was she was an NFL.
Donna Ponte.
And she was like the administrative liaison. What is she? Was some kind of office job with the NFL. Very, very understated. It was almost like a librarian was coming out to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And she paused right before she read the name and she got a little glint in her eyes. And then she strung out the sh. So she said, Shadur Sanders.
Oh, wow. I didn't get to hear it. We were on the air. I didn't get to hear it.
I had a feel, and they were kind of hinting at it towards in the broadcast, and you find out later that there were Browns fans down on the ground at the draft that were saying, like, wait a second, they've got 8 cameras out here in this round. They haven't done this for anybody, and they're taking a little bit longer, so we're ready for the big moment here.
Yeah.
I was astounded. I mean, they've got 5 quarterbacks on their roster.
Their quarterback room right now is
one of which was drafted before Shadur Sanders.
One of us, Deshaun Watson.
I know, but in this draft where the Browns had already drafted a quarterback.
That was it's funny you say that. That was my first reaction. Is I was looking at it purely through. And we were on the air when the pick. Yeah. Me and John Harris were on the air, and I was looking at it through purely a football lens. I'm going, they just drafted a guy 2 rounds before, who was a reach, by the way, who they were getting killed for drafting in the 3rd round.
Right.
Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah. Well, okay, so this is with the Shadur, because people have 29 million different ways of thinking about this. Strictly strategically, what it felt like to me was, okay, this is a guy where some teams might have a high grade on him, some teams have a second round grade on him, but he's a guy who's been actively tanking the draft process.
Yes.
Like, actively tanking it. His father has been saying there's only some teams we want to go to, and Shadur has been talking very much like he was going to be a top 3 pick. And if one of the few teams that was in the market for one of these quarterbacks in the 1st round didn't like him, every other team becomes a team that either isn't really all that desperate for a quarterback or is one of the teams that Shadur actively stiff-armed.
Yes.
And then it becomes a matter of, all right, the guy's father has been talking about how they're going to dictate terms. Shadur has been talking about how he's going to dictate terms. If I'm going to draft this guy, it's going to have to be with a pick that I look at as somewhat expendable.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a chance I'm going to have to cut him.
Yeah.
Or there's a chance he's not going to sign the contract or whatever it might be. And I think that was the biggest thing. It was that the tanking of the draft process might have been, in it way more so than the Eli Manning scenario. And by the way, people are acting like there was no controversy over that. That's been a running criticism and joke for the last 2 decades.
Well, and Eli didn't tank the process either.
Right,
you know?
He didn't tank the process. Yeah. They maneuvered for one.
Yeah.
I thought it was bad. I didn't like it at the time. I've made fun of it ever since.
Sure.
But he was a legitimate top 3 pick, where Shadur Sanders wasn't. So we've got this guy who's incredibly high profile, and it actively tanked the pre-draft process. Yeah, teams are going to be scared as hell of them.
Yep. I think there were 2. I think if we're to boil this down to, because the interviews behind the scenes are what they are. We're not privy to them. Our window into them is through guys like Todd McShay, who say, I heard that Brian Daboll this, and I heard that, and anonymous executives or coaches saying, this was the worst interview I've ever seen, stuff like that. That's the only glimpse we get into the interview room. I thought there were 2 public quotes, one from Shadur and one from Dion, that if you're looking for audio evidence of how teams would immediately get turned off by Team Sanders, the first was Shadur at the combine.
If you ain't trying to change the franchise or the culture, don't give me. So you should know history repeats itself over and over and over, and I've done it over and over and over, so it should be no question why NFL franchise should pick me.
Oh, yeah.
You think I'm worried about what critics say or what people got to say? You know who my dad is? They hated on him too. So it's like, it's almost normal. Without people hating, it's not normal for us.
Okay.
So we like the adversity. We like everything that comes with the name. That's why we are who we are.
That's number one. Number two, then this is actually, I think, from last year. But it endured, obviously. This was Deion Sanders on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast talking about pulling an Eli.
Where do you predict Shadur and Travis going in the draft?
Top 4.
Ooh, that's pretty beautiful.
Anywhere from 1 through 4. One of them is going to be 1.
Mm. That's what I'm talking about.
One of them is going to be
speaking into existence.
And the latter one would not go behind 4.
Mm.
A little off.
Now, all this is subjective because I know where I want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget Shallow, okay? Mm-hmm. But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't going to happen.
It's okay, you on point.
It's going to be it's going to be an Eli.
It's going to be an Eli, yeah. Needless to say, Shiloh didn't get drafted.
Right, and and the biggest problem with all of this is, because even that part, Deion's doing it out loud in a way that Archie Manning didn't do it out loud. I don't necessarily think that Eli or that Archie Manning and Deion Sanders are that much different other than the delivery method. The biggest difference is that Eli Manning was a slam dunk top three.
He was good.
Pick. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Shedeur Sanders, it was much more questionable.
Yeah.
So the one of the biggest chasms here has been Shedeur taking on the persona of his father, but not having the same caliber of talent of his father. You know, Deion can be Deion because he was one of the best defensive backs of all time. The other part of it, too, is that, with Deion, people have always said, Deion's got a public persona, and then he's got his private persona.
Yep.
I don't know if Shedeur knows the difference.
No.
I feel like Shedeur doesn't realize.
I don't think he does. I think my biggest overall takeaway from this, Seth, is that I think Deion failed his son tremendously in this process.
By overestimating exactly what people thought of him.
Overestimating who he was and not dialing back Shedeur and putting some guardrails on what he was doing reportedly doing in these interview rooms.
Dan Shedeur, there's these reports of him walking around, taking a FaceTime call while he was in a meeting with a coach, keeping his headphones with the music on while people are trying to talk to him. Like, oh, this is just really outright disrespectful stuff.
Yep.
That frankly, and the other thing people will say is, well, gosh, the guy's not, it's not like he's a criminal, and it's not like he's done some of this stuff this other guys have done. I've got news for you, casual NFL fans. Coaches are very, very lenient about guys who have had a little run-in with the law. Cam Newton, say. If you flat out disrespect the head coach to his face, or if you blow off meetings or blow off workouts or what have you, they take that a lot more personally than any altercation you may have had.
It's been that way forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. Like Shedeur. Okay. Great. He's never run into any off-field trouble or anything. He's the kind of guy that would go into traffic court and end up getting hit with contempt because he just doesn't respect the guy that he's supposed to be showing respect to.
How do you get thrown in jail on a speeding ticket? He yelled at the judge.
He was 6 miles per hour over the limit.
He yelled at the judge.
Spent 3 months in jail.
He yelled at the judge. He walked up to the podium and said, I do this. History repeats itself, and I'm going to do this over and over and over and over.
And honestly, you can say what you want about anonymous reports or whatever. I don't know if I've ever seen the deluge of this many negative reports by GMs and head coaches what have you about one guy and just how what a jerk he acted in all of these meetings.
He wound up in the fifth round. The league has spoken. He was a jackass behind the scenes. Yes. All right. Payne and Pendergast.
He's admitted to it. He wished he'd handled the process differently.
And NFL teams aren't going to draft a quarterback who can actually help them, you know?
People are acting like it's some collusion by the league or something. Listen, take anybody you know who treats people like dirt. Do they have to conspire to agree to dislike him?
Right.
No. Get treated like dirt tend to dislike the person who's treating them like dirt.
No Zoom call necessary. Yeah. All right, let's get to headlines. Draft, Rockets, Astros. We'll get to all of it in headlines.